I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. What was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Make sure
you cook. Supercoach 360 podcast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's been a little while, but we're going. How you doing? Supercoach 360. It's your boy, Jazzy J. We are, I don't even know where we are. We're not even in a caravan this time. We're at cons and we're chilling. We are back to talk everything NRL Supercoach for 2023 on the eve of Australia Day, as per usual. The app has launched, so here we are. Lots to talk about, boys. Is there a lot to talk about? I mean, we've got a few things for us to talk about tonight on the show. I believe we've got a little list going, don't we? Berg said he's got a few things up his sleeve. I'm not sure what it is. We're going to talk some of the basics of what we do. We're going to talk some of the changes to Supercoach this year. We're going to look for some value positions, some positions to watch team by team in terms of changes, departing players, et cetera, et cetera. Positions to look forward to on TLT. Pretty much all the changes with Supercoach. We're go through our first drafts of our teams. I mean, there's not really too much to go on at this point. TLT's still 6 weeks away, boys.
But we're back, baby. Let's do it.
Gregory is back to start the show for 2023. He is full of energy. Say g'day, Gregory. Talking to the microphone, buddy. You're on camera. Come on, keep going.
No.
What do you want to talk about tonight, bud?
I'm happy we're back. And
yeah, what are we talking about tonight, 2023?
Well, you excited for Supercoach? Whatever you said, buddy. You're the boss.
All right.
Okay, doing the shares, but I'll jump in there. Okay,
yeah, why not?
Got a bit to talk. Well, I've got some stuff on the paper. We'll talk about the game changes, the benefits and disadvantages of the new rules and the gameplay change. A bit of team talk. NRL rule changes, not many, but they've tweaked a couple. They haven't actually fully changed something, have they, Con? They've just tweaked a few rules. The actual NRL itself won't affect Supercoach too much, or will it?
No, I don't think so.
No. And Perso's throwing me something on Nico, so we might have a read through that. You've
prepared
got some
always.
Stuff over there.
Lovely, boys. Well, let's go over some of the basics of Supercoach. Right, so for everyone who hasn't made or maybe first time playing, whatever it may be, you found us somehow by the grace of good God.
How unlucky.
Yeah, it's it. Here you are. We are ready to talk shit and talk Supercoach every single week. Sort of. The basics of Supercoach. Con, you go about picking a team. So, look, about 10 guns. Names you know.
No.
Nah, how many guns are you starting with start season?
I don't know.
Well, you instantly said no, so I figured
you
had a number in mind.
10's way too over-realistic.
You reckon?
Yeah.
What do you go for, 7? 6?
Really, it comes down to what cheapies come on offer on TLT. Like, let's be real, if we don't get any, then some of your guns have to become mid-rangers that you hope juice up because you just will not be able to field a team. We all know you need some cheapies. Like, you need them. Otherwise, you can't afford to bring in top guys in certain positions. Like, you might be able to get one or two. But there's no way you're walking away with 4 or 5.
Retract my previous statement. Going off my team now. They're not gun prices, but people that I'm assuming are going to be guns this year.
But that's assumed.
10 or 11.
10 or 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what he does.
You can only start the season by assuming they're going to be guns. You don't know.
Yeah, well, that's
true. A lot of people you do know. They do have pedigree.
just had what, a poor year last year? Or?
Well, I got Turbo.
Yeah.
Bargain basement. He's not priced as a gun, but we all know he's a gun. It's just how long he plays. Dewey Burton, I think they'll both be guns this year. Price, not a gun price.
Good service from Appy at the Tigers. Boost Dewey's stocks.
A better forward pack.
Yeah, a few things going for him over at the Tigers. Like, there. I mean, it's still the Tigers, so I'm hesitant.
They've added IFAP, Clemmer, and Bateman.
Yeah, right. Like,
with Appy.
Feeding, quality attack.
Granted, they're feeding Luke Brooks, but let's hope Luke Brooks can do something.
Yeah, or just Dewey
Roscoe,
takes...
I'm hoping for you, buddy, more than anyone.
Dewey takes the reins, hopefully. Can unlock a few of those players.
Well, if Luke Brooks just needs to steer him around and Dewey just does the magic. Hopefully.
There you go, Sheen. Some sound advice from Colin to start 2023.
Oh, they've done okay. They've bought pretty well.
They've recruited very well.
Like, we had a look at their teams earlier, and they've done okay. Like, in regards to putting people around these people that do well, rather than just trying to pull a nobody in and getting them to do a job. So, I like where they're going.
So, okay, if that's the case, would you consider Luke Brooks?
No.
As a smoky to start the season, if he's got all this quality now floating in around him, is it going to boost his game, or you take the punt on Dewey and you steer clear of Brooks? What's your bold prediction for 2023, boys?
Well, I had Luke Brooks last year, I think, or the year before, maybe.
So you make mistakes?
Yeah, big time.
But, like, serious question.
No, well, this, like, with that forward pack and Appy attracting the markers, giving him his time and space that he needs, this is his time. If it's ever going to be, this is it.
He's got some quality around him, for sure.
With the Tim Sheens, Benji Marshall, Robbie Farah, trio, coach kind of thing happening, the threesome going on, I think they're going to play like a very much 05 Tigers attacking brand of football, which hopefully if their forwards can lay the platform, will produce super coach points. And if Luke Brooks can chime into some of that,
well, he's 552,000, and there's only
so he's 300,000 cheaper than Nico.
Yep,
Nico's 880 something. Isn't
902
it?
Now that they've up the money, but so it's a big saving. But let's look at what's below him. If she goes sideways,
but let's look at the pedigree too of Nico and Nathan. I know Nico's only a short one brief stint.
Now, if you have a look below him, there's not much going on. You've got Hastings, then you've got Sexton, Sean Johnson, Milford. There's not much going on. Tanner Boyd's the only one that semi-interests me there if he gets a hooker roll.
I like him.
But other than that, there's not much underneath. So
I don't like him at hooker.
Stuff goes sideways. I think you're sort of stuck with Luke Brooks. You're better off going above Luke Brooks, and if Luke Brooks goes off, then maybe look at getting him in another way rather than trying to find cash in a couple of weeks, if you know what I mean.
I get that, but
a downgrade's easier than an upgrade.
I get that, but the
No sound, Juzzy.
The point of going a Luke Brooks over a Nico or a Cleary is you're backing Luke Brooks to either produce semi kind of points to what they're producing, or you're backing them not to produce what everyone else is expecting. So, to have that fallback option, yeah, that's all good. But what if Luke Brooks comes out like you expect, and maybe even outscores Nico by 20 points in the first 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Then you have to waste a trade to think either Nico's underperforming or Luke Brooks is overperforming.
Well, as it stands now, the ownership, I can see the ownership, 29% on Nico, 56% Nathan Cleary, 4% on Jerome Hughes, 3% on Mitchell Moses, 7% Sam Walker, and then 6% on Jackson Hastings, and then there's...
So I feel all those 7% are falling into the Sam Walker trap of last year. Everyone's expecting massive things, and it didn't eventuate, and I think they're going to be
go again.
The same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just you got to look at the, like, Nathan Cleary is the obvious choice. You know what I mean? He's tried and tested and true.
Best player in the best team.
He's tried, tested and true. But they have lost Arpy. They've
absolutely
a little
kick
bit, like, a lot of strike power missing from Penrith this year. Does it affect him? I don't know.
Yep.
Does Nico, is Nico worth the 900 grand start? I don't know. Like,
it's a lot of money.
Well, I've got that here actually. Just I've got that here. Like, the must-haves, are they still a thing? Like, are people must-haves?
Oh, you want to know what you guys were talking about the second the sound came on?
What?
How Luke Brooks might outscore Nico Hines in the first two rounds. So just to clarify, you're going to have to go back, probably listen to the audio on that. But we were talking about the Tigers and possibly Luke Brooks as a smoky this year. Do you jump on, jump off? Do you seriously believe?
No, but we're talking about how their forward pack's massively improved and they're playing off the back of Bappy Coruscant as well now. It wasn't just a... But, yeah.
Well, Perso sent me something earlier. Like, Nico, he's been looking at the Sharks draw and crunching some numbers on Nico and a possible antipod to start the season. Let's just say he won't be doing it, but it's a possibility for other people. Sharks play Souths, Para, Canberra, Dragons and the Warriors into round six bye. He averages 95.29 from seven games against those sides in 2022. Then they play the Chooks, the Dogs, drops his average to 90 across the sides the Sharks play in the first eight rounds. So that's not bad.
Horrible. Drops that far?
It drops that far, yeah. But just on them numbers alone, what have the Sharks actually lost?
Nothing.
Nothing.
We went through it. It was so, not a major significant loss to their starting team at all.
So does his average really go down? Like, does it really go down?
If anything, it gets better, doesn't it?
I think, yeah, well, a bit more time.
And whatnot.
Bit of time together and an off-season, pre-season.
Bit of surfing.
I feel Nico's going to be hard to pass up. Like, he really is. And like we're saying, is there such a thing as a must-have anymore? Like, is there such a thing time of the year?
Goal kicking half-packed in top four, top eight teams usually are hard to go against. Like, Mitchell Moses may be on a tier or two lower, but I don't think his team's as good.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a question for you then, because I'm seriously considering it. Do you start Nico Clares? Do you just start both of them?
I am, at the moment.
All right, so it's not a crazy question then.
I can't afford it.
He can't afford it because you've got like $2 million spent in his front row.
No, I've changed all that since we've spoke.
I have.
I'm trying to find...
He had like $450,000 to $500,000 front rowers.
But I expected him to do okay, like I had...
Yeah, what's okay, 60?
Yeah.
All right. So, boys, we've already gone off topic. First segment of the new year. So
funny that.
Good on us, right? I think we were just talking about some of
how
the...
How about welcome back, guys?
Yeah, we were talking about
women.
Some of the basics.
Thank you all for coming back and putting up with us for another year. Appreciate it.
Hopefully. You got Gregory on the podcast tonight if you haven't picked up on it yet. It's going to be a ride, but that's all right. It's a straight day tomorrow.
No, I'm okay.
Just
not Greg quite. At the moment.
You know us. We talk for an hour.
I had lunch.
It'll be Gregory by the end. Anyway, that's fine. We love Gregory. Gregory's here. It's public holiday tomorrow. Do what you got to do. The way Brad says but, I love it. Anyway, we're here to talk Supercoach. It seems like we're not going to get anywhere without just talking about our teams. I think that's the only solution. Let's just get in and talk about our first draft.
Okay, well, I'll go first, because then Colin can go and you can do your team. I don't know, but we'll go.
That's what I mean. But it seems like the natural course of action is just to let's talk about our teams, because I didn't realise you were running with Nico Clares. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have thought it was such a crazy question.
I'm on...
Berg's is sitting there looking at his team at the moment, so I was like, well, let's do it.
Well, I'm on Robson and Brandon Smith at the moment. At hooker.
So I was thinking the same, but I am seriously considering taking a gamble on the Penrith hooker. But let's hear what you boys have to say, because we all know
that's
I'm crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I know it's crazy, but that's why it's a game.
They're both going to play maybe 30 or 50 or 40 minutes each, like, and neither of them showed enough to say, hey, I'm Supercoach Gold.
I'm a 65-minute hooker. Yeah.
Not just that, like, Mitch Kenny's just pretty much a defensive hooker who'll make you 40-odd tackles a game and won't produce much in attack. Sonny Luke won't make, I don't think, 40-odd tackles a game, and he might run the ball a little bit more, but either way, I don't think either of the games are overly Supercoach friendly.
Well, see, here's my feelings about Sonny Luke, is the fact that they gave him a few games last year, and Noel Abbey was on the move. They could have turned around to him and just gone, all right, we see you got what it takes at the first grade level. You've now got 6 months, 9 months, however long it was, until, bang, we're going to want you in first grade. So here's what we need from you. I mean, I haven't seen photos of him, but if he's come back like a tank, which is quite possible for a man his age.
Well, just one query on that.
Yeah.
I think he's 27.
Yeah.
He's been in the Penrith system pretty much his whole life.
Okay, so
he has had this conversation over and over and over again, probably every single preseason. Mate, you need to work on this, what you need to do this, bro. What, so now he's 27, he's finally, the penny's dropped, and...
Well, he might have just come of age. He's probably come of age.
I don't think he got hampered by a few injuries early on as well.
I think he's fucking fallen into a fucking perfect system in a great team. And, like, Sean O'Sullivan. He's a good halfback, but he's not the great halfback that he looked like in those games that he played at Penrith.
So you say you're not jumping on O'Sullivan at the Dolphins this year?
Oh, no,
not
way.
At his price.
At 250, yeah, absolutely, but no, not at 500 odd.
Yeah, fair call.
So who are you? Am I just doing my whole team? Or?
Yeah, mate,
Well, no.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Otherwise, who are your hookers? Because I've got the same hookers as
you. I think everyone copied them off me, but yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's it.
You saw Robson and me.
All right, so Robson Smith seems like a no-brainer. Let's have a
Harry Grant's a popular pick. Like, everyone's dead set. Well, from what I've heard, Harry Grant's the man.
Well, just on percentages, Harry Grant's 24% owned. Damien Cook, 2%. Reece Robson, 8%. So he's still a pod.
Well, Harry Grant started last year, I think, first seven rounds with a 92-point average.
And Brennan Smith,
Storm,
52%.
Start season starts strong. No cheese, take minutes off Harry. If he plays 80, mate, he could well be 10 points under.
And Ray Stone,
he'll be a weapon. If he's playing 80, he's a weapon.
Pappy plays fit. Munster stays fit. Hughes stays fit. They're the best spine comp. So.
And at this point, one of the most experienced.
Yeah, so it could be anything.
Well, Ray Stone's the third highest owned, and he's 29%.
Yeah, but he'd be more back row owned.
No, but he's it's in hooker position, so I'm just assuming.
Yeah, but that's just his percentage of owner. Yes. If you own him in hooker, I think you'd be cray-cray.
But yeah, he's the obvious choice in B. Smith.
I think there's only three choices.
Who's your third?
Cheese, Grant, and Robson.
Yeah.
Three.
So, okay, cool. That was my next question. Is like, who are the people you're thinking about? Would you go near Josh Hodgson at Parramatta with the club change?
Nah, the only other one I'd go is Newcastle boy, Blake Brayley. Sharks boy.
Jaden Brayley. He's Jaden Brayley's the Newcastle one. I like him. He's got... Yeah, you're talking Jaden Brayley. Come back from the ACL last year for Newcastle. Done well. He goes under the radar a lot, I think, Jay Bray. Like, for me, he's averaged his way up there when he's on the field. And if you really look in, if you dive into his numbers, like I know you have, you're just Gregory. But he's 72%. He's 72%, 72 average or something when he came back last year from that ACL, wasn't he? I think you're fine. So he's underdone just from the injury affected games and probably getting knees back in. He's a little underpriced. No, I'm not. But he at the moment's only 1% owned. Like, it is only early days, but he's in the 1% owned category.
So hold on, just to clarify, you're talking Blake Brayley at Newcastle or
Jaden
Brayley at the Sharks? Or Jaden Bradley at Newcastle.
Jaden at Newcastle.
You like Jaden at Newcastle?
Yeah, I think he goes under the radar a little bit, and he'd have injury affected games in there. So,
would you look at Blake again this year? He had a good year last year.
No. I am talking about Blake.
So you're talking about the Sharks boy?
Yeah.
I like Jaden. He goes under the radar a lot.
I think Blake Bradley's the option out of the ballpark, but I wouldn't touch him.
Do you see the Newcastle spine scoring points?
Not to start with for me. The Ponga thing they've tried already, like, I know he's a bit older and it's different and whatever, but for me, he's got a lot of work to do. Lockie Miller's only played 7 games of footy. If he's really hanging your hopes and dreams on him, I think that's a big ask. He hasn't had a pre-season with yous. It's just, yeah.
He's still training at the Sharks, isn't he?
Yeah, from what I heard, he is.
But at the end of the day, it comes back to, I think, Jackson Hastings. It's whether he can control and command the team around the field, and KP can just float around and play pretty much like a fullback, but wearing a 6 jersey. Get his hands on the ball on the short sides like Cameron Munster and Dylan Brown and things like that, which creates more opportunities. And the forwards. If the forwards don't go forward and lay that platform, then it doesn't matter what anybody else wants to do.
Yeah. So we're going back to my team?
Yeah.
Who you got in the front row?
I got Welch.
Yep.
And Gilbert, who from reports has got the lock spot at the Dolphins. But if he doesn't and Ray Stone gets it, that works out better for me because it's a $200,000 saving. Then I've got Hetherington, who's gone to Newcastle. I know he's a massive liability, but I like him.
Front row? I'm wondering if I think I've got him in the background.
No loading, but that's his best friend.
Yeah, no loading, yeah. And then I've got Paseka from Manly, just with Marty going, Davey left. I know
somebody
he was,
needs to step up.
There's opportunity there. Now, I have had him in the past in the draft, and he's a bit same, but
if you realise how big and strong he actually is, he's almost the biggest dude in the comp.
I hope that his year.
Well, see, Manly's a liability for me this year with the coach change. I mean, what's Seibold doing there? Is he just letting the players go about, do their business? Or is he coming in trying to change everything up? Like, because that's the massive unknown with anything at Manly. I know there's forward minutes on offer, which is good. But then Manly, the rest of Manly, there's so many unknowns at this point. I need to see trials and ultimately a few rounds before I start banking on anyone but Turbo because he's a freak.
That's the best fair way. Goal. Give him Seibold's last 6
endeavor.
Months as coach.
Who you got in your front row, mate? Do you even know, or do you know who's in your front row?
Oh, no, I've got 2 Manly forwards in mine now. I've said that. It's Inshaun Kepi.
Oh, I do have Christian Welch.
Yeah, same.
At the moment, I think he's pretty much locked into my team, unless he gets hurt. And I have Joseph Tarpany.
Really?
Yeah, I'm forking out the big bucks. I don't care, because once he clicked into that massive form run that he did last year, he way out averaged what his price at this year, and I'm backing him to go just as good, if not better. So, like I did last year, I'm jumping on from the start, and I'm just riding him home.
Yep.
Like a Melbourne Cup. We're going all the way. And then I got Hetherington and Xavier Williamson from the Broncos at the moment, but he's just a penciler.
Yeah. Juzzy, you got your team up?
Yeah, I got Sipley, Sean Kepi, Christian Welch, and Matt Lodge.
I like Matt Lodge.
Yeah, that's it. We're having a quick chat before the show. Mind you, that this is a changed around team where I'm looking for as much value as possible. In the first one, I don't know, the screenshots on my phone, I'm sort of using.
But with Matt Lodge selection, you got to think Takiaho's gone.
Yeah.
So there's big minutes gone in the middle. Cheese is now their starting hooker. With Connor Watson now gone, do they carry a utility on the bench?
Hutchinson.
Or do they play Cheese for 55, 60 minutes and spell him with Bradley at hooker and have another big middle forward in the middle, which could also help Lodgers minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, they're flooding some young forwards at the moment, like Eden Butcher, Saluka Fifita.
I think he went the Rabbits.
A few others, so...
Yeah,
no, I like Lodge.
Lindsay Collins was my original, actually, now that you're mentioning the Roosters. Because, yeah, same thing. I could see him...
He is the spinner in the works.
He's a beast, man.
He takes Takiaho's minutes straight up there and then...
So, I'm actually thinking on getting on him for value more than anything, but also because look at the way he plays, man, and look at the way what he did in Origin, stuff like that. He stays on the field. Dude's an absolute weapon.
Yeah. He doesn't really have an offload and stuff, but look...
He just does the work week in, week out.
I feel Tarpany off his ways much more.
He does. I like Joe last year.
Like, Huss would be also right up there, but with the off-field issues and stuff going on, I just don't know the mental space that he's going to be in. And
I'm looking at starting for value. That's my goal. Is
Tarpany's value, in my opinion.
Really?
At $673,000 or whatever he is.
It's pretty top dollar for a forward, bro.
I think he's the most expensive except for IPAP.
That's what I mean.
I think it's value.
Okay.
That's my faith.
Right, have you done your forwards?
So have you guys got, either of you guys starting the top any?
I am.
He is. I haven't got any notable forwards there.
Yeah, mate. I haven't been listening.
I'm banking on, I've got no notable forwards there.
All right, so.
Back row.
What are you looking at in your back row?
Now, this is where I've gone a little bit different. I'm hoping to find a bit of an edge with a couple of these. I've gone Adam Elliott, just because I think that Newcastle will need him to play big minutes with no Clemmer. He showed at Canberra what he's capable of. You got him in just before he got a cold and then got him out, but then he went on a rip.
Yeah, that good. And then I think he had a rib injury or something. Something happened. He got hurt and he was playing hurt.
That's why he's hurt.
He scored,
a juicy price.
But he also started the year off the bench and
wasn't
playing big minutes. So
now, Mitch Barnett, I've got penciled in because he's gone to the Warriors. Now, the thing with the Warriors is they've already got such a good pack. Like, they've got Karen, they've got
Tohu
Harris, they've got Jazz Tavanga comes in and out, does he sings.
Manly dude, Neil Blake.
Neil Blake, yeah. So that worries me a little bit with his minutes, but we all know what Mitch is capable if he gets the game time. And then
he's starting edge, playing 80.
Yeah, jump on.
I like that. Yeah. Then I've got Lawton from Manly. We've spoke a little bit about Lawton a few times in the past.
Why are you going for Lawton?
He's a big darkie. Well, but what he did started in that position, he was very good. Very effective. He
runs a decent line. He
scored heaps of tries.
He did. I like Lawton. His durability is a factor with Lawton. He does get hurt a hell of a lot.
Doesn't matter. I only need him for 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Just to juice up a little bit. But does he have 6 or 7 weeks in him is the key there. Then I've got I got Raymond Fatala-Mariner from the Dogs. I wasn't going to talk too much about Fuzzy, but someone's got to get their minutes, and I'm hoping he gets some.
Surely he plays 80 on edge.
At least not. If 65 with some attack and prowess, I wouldn't be unhappy with.
And, defence is loading up on the right-hand side with Kickow running lines over there. So,
yeah,
surely they're going to be a man short every now and again on
the left.
Canterbury's right to take advantage of with Fuzzy.
And then Garner, who we're expecting.
Fuzzy is slang for Rain for Taylor Mariner.
Yeah, he used to have mad hair.
I was wondering who you were talking about, to be honest.
Yeah, he used to have mad big,
I remember his hair.
Care Bear hair. And then Garner, he's gone from a team that wasn't great. Halves weren't offering him up much.
That was generous.
Sorry, Ross.
No, well, I'm just saying, but now he's gone to kick
the
our
best
spot
team in comp,
where that is their favoured side of attacking side. We assume he's going to take kick our spot. And he just runs a good line, so $435,000 undervalue. Very undervalue.
Well, that's it. A lot of people will look at it and go, Luke Garner's not going to break the tackles like Kikau's going to break the tackles.
Now, what happens if they move Mardo to the left and they keep Garner on the right?
Luke Garner runs lines better than Kikau, in my opinion. Kikau looks for contact. Garner runs into it. And if Luke Garner runs into a hole and four people are touching him as he falls over the line, that's four tackle busts. Whether he's actually broken those tackles or not, doesn't matter. That's four tackle busts. So whether Kikau run through three people and ran 40 metres untouched after that, Luke Garner scored more points than him just by running a good line and carrying four people over the line.
All right.
Yeah. I can't see him regressing. So I've gone... Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. So that's why I cut you off, because it was a Penrith chat. Liam Martin. Liam Martin won't go to the other side because he's the deterrent. Like, Nath can tackle on his own, but you don't want to run it. Liam Martin, he's a bit of a menace. So he's a deterrent from running at Nath, if you know what I mean. You're better off running over there at Little Luai, who gets pushed off 6-7 times a game anyway. You know, so that's why I think he'll leave him there and put Garner on the other side.
Yeah.
Then I've got Elise Katoa, just because I think anyone that goes into a Melbourne system, if he starts, I think he's undervalued at 4-11, can be your stepping stone to another player. I wouldn't play him every week.
Would you jump on Tariq Sims if he got the starting spot?
Yeah, if he starts 80 minutes every week at the Storm and Munster and Hughes are fit, you're playing him.
Oh, if he plays his 80 minutes, yeah. But if he's not getting 80 minutes, I'm not.
If he's starting on an edge, he's getting usually 80 minutes, bro.
He's a gamble.
Bellamy plays his back rows for 80 minutes. Like, Capusi and Bromwich predominantly play 80 minutes.
Yeah, if not 70, so they were pumping it. Like.
Yeah, that's it. So you'd back him in.
Have you got many of those? Or have you gone a different direction?
I've gone completely left field of that, but I don't think left field. I'm buying on John Bateman.
You are?
Yep.
I think he's overpriced.
And 622,000?
Yep.
I'm willing to roll the dice.
Yeah, we've seen. Mind you, will IPAP take some of those tries? Or will IPAP go down severely?
Or will IPAP distract away and maybe they'll feed off each other?
Yeah.
I'm back in.
One of those back rowers. I'm back in Bateman really
play
well.
Right hand side, outside Dewey, Nofluma, and probably Naden.
Talao or whatever?
No, Naden probably on that side.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's going to be the attacking team.
I don't think you can have Naden and Nofo on the same side. It's a hole and a half. Neither of them read it real well. Naden's not a great defender.
We're not here to defend, mate, at the Tigers.
I'm just saying, I don't think they'd be on the same side.
Talao's always played left. Talao will play left. He's left centre. But yeah, I think that'll be the attacking side. Bateman, Dewey. I've got Nopo as well, actually. Holy shit.
Wow. That's a lot of Tigers.
Yeah, I've got the whole Tigers right hand side except for the centre.
I've
got to rethink my team. I'm going to bed, guys. See you later.
All right. So who are your second rowers? Yeah, who else has got the back row?
Because I got a couple of his, but then I've got some left field.
I've got Dave Fifita.
Yeah.
John Bateman.
Yeah.
Jermaine Hopgood.
Spending money.
Luke Garner. Carl Lawton. And Braden Williami. But those the last two are just
Where's Jermaine Hopgood gone?
Pencil holders. He's at Parramatta.
Just found where I'm getting me money for Turbo. There's talks of him
starting lock.
Yeah.
If he can start lock and play 50 to 60 minutes, his work rate's phenomenal.
Not worried about Nathan Brown.
He's gone to South, hasn't he? Or the Tigers? Yeah, there's talks of him signing with the Tigers before seasonal start. So.
Right.
And he couldn't make the team for like 12 weeks last year.
He
came in for like a semi final, didn't he? And played like 12 or something minutes. And yeah, he's gone, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nathan Brown. Niokore's gone.
All right, so speaking of Niokore gone, I've gone for Murata Makaheshi. No, it wasn't.
Makaheshi Makatoa.
Makaheshi Makatoa, that's the one. I can only see half my screen on the reserves. Eliasi Katoa, Jack Hetherington, Tom Gilbert, Luke Garner, and Adam Elliott.
Yeah, I'll probably look at Eliasi Katoa.
Yeah. So, I'm like I said, I'm looking for value everywhere, and that's because halves, I've gone Cleary Hines. You've gone Cleary Hines. So, Berg, who you got, bud?
Penciled in there, I've got Nathan Cleary and Tanner Boyd if he plays hooker at the Titans.
Now, I did have Tanner Boyd until I freed up some cash to be able to make that one work.
Would you spear me out of Tanner? Or?
I have Tanner Boyd actually penciled in at the moment, but I have $470,000 or something to... I have enough money to upgrade to Nico.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want him to play hooker. I want him to play inside Dave Feeder.
Yeah, I heard talks of him possibly playing 5'8".
Which two went to school together? Two of them went to Keebra Park High School together at the same time. Dave Feeder in one of the halves. I just don't know which one. So I'm hoping Tanner Boyd comes good for me there because he's only $384,000. There's not much below him to work with.
But again, it comes back to... I feel the same situation in Newcastle. Aiden O'Brien doesn't use KP effectively. So he's not super coach relevant.
I still see them as bottom eight teams, unfortunately.
Holbrook. Use Dave Fifita effectively, which hurts his super coach relevance. It takes Dave Fifita to just snatch the ball out of the air and just pump off 17 defenders, run over to the bench, pump off a few of them, and then score a try. And coaches, they should be better than that, those two.
What realistically, where do you see the competition this year? I see Panthers, Storm, Roosters definitely fighting very hard at the top.
No, I see
Parramatta Souths then as Sharks as a possibility.
Well, you can't.
No. But I'm talking about this just fully, what I see based on last year.
Every team fully fit.
Yeah,
I see Roosters, Storm 1-2.
Yeah,
convincingly. Sorry, but I think without Appy, without kick out.
Yeah,
I think that severely brings Penrith back to the pack. And Storm had the best spine last year.
Bro, Storm are brutal. Storm had
the best spine the year before. With those four players on the field, they can do anything.
Well, yeah.
And the Roosters are just these fucking star-studded across the field, aren't they? Like, their centre's a quality fullback who's the best player in the World Cup at fullback. Like, how fair is that?
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it? It really is. Like, honestly, I do. I see the Roosters fully fit after a year where they were sort of ravaged by injury and, you know, the whole pressure of the three-peat a couple of years ago. I think they were just recovering from all of that. I think now they've got some really good talent floating around there, but I don't know how much depth they've got personally. Melbourne, I think, are prepared for depth. I think they blooded a lot of blokes last year. I think they've bought really well. And then Melbourne, like you said, they've got Welch back, which is a massive thing. If Harry's now graduated to an 80-minute hooker, then, they're going to be devastating, bro.
Well, Melbourne have lived off the big three philosophy for 20 years. And they've got a big four at the moment. So
the
other puzzle pieces just fall into place.
Yeah.
As long as they stay fit.
Well, okay, funny that you say as long as they stay fit. Because this whole thing, like, Pappy shattered a kneecap. That's pretty intense.
Teddy.
Yeah.
Teddy came back from that. That's where Teddy learned to run again.
He's an ACL the year before that, too. Yeah.
Teddy had broken 3 years in a row and you thought he was never going to.
The one thing Teddy hasn't had is severe concussions, which is
concerning.
More probably concerning than ACL history or hamstring history or anything. Like, concussions are something not to be trifled with.
Yeah, no. So, we're learning that, aren't we?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, me 5'8". Now, I've got Schuster, but there's a good chance he could get put up into the second row. It's probably the smart choice, but
yeah.
I didn't realise I could get him a second row.
Yeah, but he's 240K.
Cheap at.
He's 241,000. He was playing off the bench.
No, I mean, I could upgrade my 5'8" and move him up to the second row, sacrifice someone up there and upgrade.
Yeah, well, I've got just him sitting in there. He's a placeholder, but if I move it around, he'll probably go into the second row.
His contract says he has to play 5'8".
Yeah.
Will they take the dual position off him?
The only problem is he's not playing.
Nah, they can't do that.
On Okawatu side.
Yeah.
Much prefer him playing outside.
And then I've got Munster. I'm finding it hard to go past Munster. I know Dill Bags took it to the next level last year, but Munster still, for me, is way in front. In probably a better side. I think Parramatta lost a lot last year.
Munster does well, but the problem is, like, that fullback ends up getting a lot of the points.
They all bloody score, mate. Every year, Hughes, Grant, or Smith, or whatever, their spine, except Cooper Cronk was the anomaly, all score fucking brilliantly. They're all amongst the top three in their positions.
Fair call.
Yeah.
Well, Munster, they're just that team. They're just,
Munster's 15% owned. Bags is at 4. Dewey's at 11.
Dewey and Burton are the value.
Matt Burton, 39%. So that's a lot of people seeing value in Burdo.
Well, I mean, look, he's got the kick in there, doesn't he? He's got the boot.
He's got 61% owned Schuster. But some of them will be in the second row.
Majority.
I got Burton Schuster at 5/8 at the moment, but yeah, realizing that I'll see what I can do now. I've got a little bit of cash to play around with.
Well, Burton doesn't just have Adekar now to either throw a long cutout ball or just kick the ball and Adekar chase.
Wait, is Adekar retired?
No. But now he's got kick out as a fucking short off the ball hip running terrorizing second rower.
More importantly, so, you know what he's got?
Like,
he's got service, bro. He's got Reid Marnie there. He's a solid hooker.
He throws a forward pass more often than not.
I'm not big on Reid Marnie, man. He had that
hopefully
good fucking four-on spin where he was fantastic, but
I hope so too.
Even then he threw, like Berg said, 7 forward passes a game. Like,
at least. I watched him heavily.
He doesn't get
spin
for all of them.
Yeah, but they're about to put something in the ball. If it's not this year, it's coming. It's coming, man.
I think like 10 or something years, like
it's coming. And they're putting a ball tracker thing in, like. Yeah, hopefully it's not in his time because we're fucked.
And then we're going to bring in the challenge and it's going to go back to umpire's call.
Anyway, so
Reid
Marnie, would you go near Reid Marnie? Nope. I'm just saying, I think Bulldogs have bought well. I think they're going to be looking strong this year. I think Serraldo's going to go in there and make a massive difference to what's going on.
He put his running game away.
But we've gone from 5-8
to
hookers.
Yeah.
We've gone from 5-8 to hookers. We've done the hookers. Reid Marnie's been spoke about. Because no one's really talking about him.
Well, I'm just saying, like, as an advantage to Burton. You guys are the ones that talk me into Burton. But, I mean,
Burton does his own shit, but you've seen him doing it last year.
That's what I mean. He made Origin and stuff, and I think he's going to be a leader of that team over there.
Burton's appeal is kick goals. He now has kick out running off his hip, and he has the Fox to kick ball and throw cutout balls too.
And we've seen what they did at Australian level.
That combination for Supercoach.
Cheering.
Oh, you can't ask for anything better, really.
Try assist, linebacker assist.
The only thing you could ask for is if they were a better team.
Now, my center... suck one.
Charming.
What? My center wings. Now, I'm going to get some eye raises here, but there's also a couple that probably just should be there anyway.
You want to know our 5/8?
Oh, yeah, does I do. Yeah, did you tell us?
I said mine.
Burton Schuster, bro. Did. We've covered this. That's how we start talking about hookers.
Well, I'm Burton Dewey.
Burton Dewey?
At the moment.
I like Dewey.
Like I said, I've got the whole Tigers right-hand side at the moment. I'm Team Tiger.
Yeah.
Tiger for life.
Jumping on this year. I like Dewey, but Dewey's a good one. All right, so I got Marju. I think he'll definitely get a start at Newcastle, and he's just a little bulldozer. Then I've got Rapana, because I'm starting to think back to his last 10 games when he started doing a Joey Manu-like effort down there at Canberra. And I'm pretty sure he scored pretty well, eh? Like them last Jordan Rapana. He got a 86, a 79, a 60, 60, 163, and 119.
Was that when he was playing fullback?
Don't know. But he was definitely doing...
I think he was playing fullback and, like, having excessive runs per game.
He was doing, like, a Joey Manu-like thing.
But if Xavier Savage is going to play fullback and he's back on the wing, is he going to continue?
I think he's going to do that. I think teams have watched what New South Wales did that year with Turbo and Teddy, and it worked. And if you can find the right people to do it in your team, it works. And he seems to go okay at it.
The last 4 or 5 years, per se, he's gone on those runs for a month, maybe two. Like, good runs where he's just absolutely carved it up, where he's just run the ball, like Joey Marnie offloaded, kicking for himself and scoring tries out of nowhere.
Well, he was kicking goals just, too. Yeah. He was kicking goals as well through that period.
How do you think Canberra are going to go his team? Are they going to score enough points for him to be your old man?
I don't know, but he's a decent shout at the moment because I can sort of work with the 526 grand.
See, I don't see Canberra as a top 8 team. And I think him at 500,000 in a not top 8 team is...
a bit meh. Well, they've got the hammer. The Wayne has come out. We all know the Wayne's a bit...
he always tells the truth.
Bit loose of his stuff he lets out. But, yeah, I got the hammer. Just if he does play fullback, I probably wouldn't play him week to week, but he could definitely, on matchups, could play him. Then I got Charles Nichol-Klokstad. I think if he plays fullback for the Warriors, I think with his dual status, I think he's gone back to the Charnsey that we first picked up a couple of years ago when he went to Canberra.
The difference between him and Hemmer is Chance got the pedigree of a workaholic at the back. He'll take the 20 runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Hemmer's never shown
the enthusiasm. Yes.
I can't see that changing.
Then you speared me into Isaac Thompson, is it? From Souths today? Yep. I haven't heard much of him, but supposedly it's his spot to lose. Spot. Training the house down, a lot of houses in Redfern coming down.
Everyone does.
And then Paul Alamoni at the Dogs. I've heard he's the cheapie that's getting a spot, but I'm not sold.
No cheapies are sold, and I don't think anyone's centre wings penned in. They might have one that they're going to think is going to be their anchor, but apart from that, I think everything's up in the air there.
Yep. And then I got that other...
Except, I don't know, Ballantyne Holmes is a very popular option.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about Ballon. Cow's got a good run.
And then I got that Tuare from the... Valance Tuare from the Dolphins. Ware. It'd be probably Dean Ware's cousin, I'd say.
Farrow when it's that way. But anyway, good to know Bergs is in touch with his Kiwi brothers and sisters. Who have I got in the centre wings? Let's just take a quick squeeze. I've got Val, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
I figure, well, goal kick at centre. He's a gun. He's a weapon in that team. If they're going to score tries, he's going to have a lot to do with a bunch of them. So... he kicks goals off anyone so they do score.
He showed last year that he was just... by the second half of the year after Origin, he was great. He was fantastic.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Putting up pullback numbers at center.
Right.
Well, it was like, crazy.
Do I go him or Toto, who had a bit of a lean year last year?
No.
See, I'm a bit iffy on Toto with Crichton there. Crichton's
as long if Toto stays on the right hand side, no. Yeah, no to Toto.
So yeah. I went with Val in the end. Lockie Miller, you guys talked me into him, supposedly going from
the
Sharks
to Newcastle.
The
other one who's up there is Garrick. But by all reports, he's going to be playing centre this year, which I think makes him super good. Yuck, yuck.
No, I think he still does his thing and kicks goals.
But he doesn't get on at the end of that back line who just scores tries
scores
for
the
fun.
Tries. Yeah, that's true.
Well, Joey Manu's at 12%.
But will he be more like Val?
Nope.
Val's 21.
He doesn't have Val in him.
Val's 21%. Toto's 21%.
Yeah.
So they're anchors for people. Suwali's a 17%.
I was considering Suwali.
And then if we list goes down, Addo-Carr's on 10.
Who?
Addo-Carr's on 10%.
Well, man, if the Bulldogs getting good service and the Bulldogs going to be scoring tries, same thing. Addo-Carr will have a lot to do with a lot of them.
Fully feared, I'm going Stormingers.
Hayes Perham's at 21%.
Maybe your coach.
Yeah, see, I sort of forgot about Zave, and he had a bit of a lean year last year too, didn't he? Where'd he end up?
Not good.
Yeah, well, that's
Remus Smith's also another one that I have in my...
Same here. I've got
$316,000.
I like CNK
him. And Remus Smith are both in mine.
I go past Remus.
Yeah, but same thing, right? Like, he got ravaged by injury last year, but we've seen what he can do, and
like,
Storm click on for the back end of the season, but like it's just value, and then he'll be a gun keeper if everything pans out.
He's not going to average a 65-70 ever. Throughout the season, but if he can get himself up, score a couple of tries early, get himself up 55-60 average, make a couple hundred thousand dollars, job done. See you, Remus. Thank you.
Yeah, fair call.
Xavier Coates comes in, scores a hat trick, hopefully.
I feel that's the jobs of him and the Tommy Talaos. They're all around about that price where you need him to at least get to 50-55 so you can get him out and not get stuck with him.
Or just jag a hat trick, hopefully not in week one, week two, where it stays near rolling average for two price rises.
Yeah.
So I also got Hayes Perham on the bench, Hayes Dunster, and Paul Alamotti. I've gone cheapy, like the cheapest I can sort of thing. Just, you know, for a few places really, where
you will
angling for cheapies.
You will most likely need to save some coin for an Alamotti upgrade because I'm not 100% sold he gets a spot, but there is talks, he's training well.
Yeah, it's here. I'll find something there. Otherwise, yeah, possibly enough loop. Fullbacks, boys.
You go first, bud. I'll go first. KKP and Trbojevic. Now, there's a lot riding on Tommy coming back from America fit. He's going to have no preseason again.
I don't feel like he needs the preseason. I feel like he'll slot into that team. Like, that's what he does and does best.
Did anyone see what Trud did after 10 weeks?
Yeah, that's it. I think he's going to come back fitter than he has ever been. Like, I think he's going to be looking at the way he does his job on a different level after coming back from the States where they've got so much money invested in professional sports. Like, he's just over there in a different world. Well, and, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he comes back. But if it's anything like Trell, fit as a fiddle and ready to go. So
yeah,
I'm very excited. Question is, can he make round one?
He's what, 25 years old? 26 years old, maybe at best?
He's coming into his prime, ultimately.
And did you ever need fitness training, really? Yeah. When you're an athlete like Turbo at 25, 26 years old, you don't need preseason.
No, he's
he can hit the ground running. It's
and if it's fitness training,
just
that's what this
body
rehab is.
He needs to get right. It's not his fitness or his cardio. That's sweet. It's his body.
Mate.
If he can go over there and get his legs right, woo, baby.
He will come back a changed man.
All right. Now I've got KP as my other one.
Now that's a massive risk if he's moving into the halves, bro.
Yeah, well, I didn't have enough money for Brimston at the time. So I like Brimston. He goes on his little runs too, but...
No one's considering starting Teddy?
Oh, I want to, but the money factor, man, I really can't at the moment. I have to rejig a few things.
Who you got? I got Turbo as well. I got Reece Walsh at this point, looking for value once again. But I do see the Broncos as a bottom eight team again.
I had Reece Walsh and Turbo. Now I went to KP and Turbo. I think I'm still got KP and Turbo. If Turbo's fit starting season, His walk up's at my team, no matter what. It.
And then
under
anyone else for me.
$600,000.
You're just a placeholder for Paps.
You're silly not to.
Well, and if we have a look.
Jeddah's the only wild card for me.
KP at 5'8 discourages me personally.
See, Paps starts the season on fire and is fit, and he goes straight through to Origin as well.
Well, you
so
want to hear
the same boat as Teddy.
Percentages? Trell's at 18, Teddy's at 43, and then.
$836,300.
We all know the Roosters don't care about the first month or so of the season. Like, they're slow starters. They're all about let's
finish
strong.
Yeah, but Teddy generally gets a few centuries in that time. Like, he still manages to get in there because he...
Justin's backed that up?
No, I don't actually. Last year, he wasn't going great guns until Origin. He comes back like a beast after it, though.
But... like, the Roosters have been injury ravaged for 3 or 4 years, man. Like, Teddy has solo pretty much, Joey might have chipped in here and there, but Teddy's carried that team for so long.
Well, there's
now.
Not much of that premiership team left.
Well, since Boyd got, like, 19, since Boyd gone, Friend gone, all them, the rest of the team
Kyrie
has been
in and out, Cronk gone.
Severely injury ravaged.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And Teddy's just...
Sometimes he's been the only guy out there. Dead set. It's like,
and some people
like
can say he's not
there.
The best fullback in the game. Like, come on, man.
He's epic. Let's be
honest. All right, so we've talked enough about players and that. Let's talk about the actual game and how it's changed that little bit. Right,
so head-to-head is a big one.
Well, this is what I've got written down. Just tell me if it's benefit or disadvantage and have a little rant if you like. They've increased the rounds to 27, so that there is more trades, 46, but you worked out it's not more than last year because
there's two extra rounds.
There's extra rounds.
Four
so
extra trades.
That's where your extra trades have come from, so it's not really...
1.76, wasn't it, Juzzy, per week we worked it out at?
Yeah, and it might float out to that 1.86 that we were thinking about.
No, it didn't.
No.
It was only going to go down,
if
you
knock it. If you let me finish my fucking sentence... If you knock it down around, because that's when head-to-head finishes, and I think that's what Perso was talking about when he mentioned that, was straight up, if you're playing just straight head-to-head, you don't even have to worry about the last round, because head-to-head finishes in 26. Starts in round 1, goes to 22, 23, through to 26 is finals. Con's just shaking his head, no.
Okay, so there's 3 major buy rounds now, and during these major buy rounds, you get 3 trades automatically. So now you normally get your 2 a week. During the buy rounds, you get 3, so you'll be able to boost up to 4.
Yeah.
So that really has taken any crucial planning out of the game for the number crunches, you know? Few guys out there, I've seen a few posts.
Sorry, no. You know what? Have your argument, and then I'm going to...
No, I'm just saying I've seen a few posts out there where people have... they're very upset by the change. Like,
They're upset by the buy schedule?
Well, I don't know.
Have a fucking whinge. Go talk to the NRL. They're the ones that bought in a 17th team and forced
it
to happen.
I hear you talking about, man. Like, are we talking about 13, man?
No, that's coming next.
That's one of the other changes during those buy rounds. But, like, just the buy rounds and stuff in general, that's the thing. You can't control it, man. It's because there's this 27-round, 17-team draw that's got an odd number in it, which has just made things all weird. Guess what? You've got to buy every week. You guys have that to sink your teeth into, right? If you were complaining about what you're talking about, then just go look at the draw, look at the buy schedule, and just sink your teeth right into that, because you are going to have heaps of fun, because you can make an extra 80 points a week, right, on the competition, just by making sure you've got that extra player and you never play a buy. You could use your whole trade strategy based around that if you go and analyze the draw and really have a good look at the buy. Oh, I'm not doing that, right? But you could if you really wanted to. And I think they've given you a new aspect to this game that you can really sink your teeth into. And if you look at it properly, right, like, what are we talking? 27 rounds by 80 points? Talk an extra couple of thousand points in the end for overall. That's going to make a massive difference come round 26, round
27. Yeah. Yeah, agree. I do agree. Now, also...
That's crazy.
Why? Go for it, Con.
Well, you're talking about using one trade every week to trade out some person who's going to play the buy. some person who's not going to play to buy. So every week, what if there's a gun that's only playing to buy that week? Are you going to trade him out, just trade in someone else who's not playing to buy?
No, I've got plenty of people
to make
on my
up
bench.
Your 80 points a week.
No, hopefully I've got enough depth.
So that's what I mean. So you shouldn't have to trade out to account for the buy. You should be carrying,
but I might be planning
probably
for the next
19, 20 players. So every week, you don't have to worry about who's on the buy or whatnot. You've got a player to fill that spot.
Listen to Colin talking with all the confidence of bloody preseason, going, you should. When I'm in the depths of July, Con, and half my team is gone, and I am just trying to scramble together players to field for, you know, full rounds, sometimes that's difficult.
I will pray for you.
Yeah, exactly right. What I'm saying is, you could if you wanted to. I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I'm saying you could make an extra couple of thousand points if you went and did it properly. Now, if you've got a gun, we all know, Supercoach rule, you don't trade a gun.
But
right?
What's doing it properly? What do you mean by doing it properly?
Well, like, say you've got a bit of depth on your bench, but then you've got a trade that, you know, maybe you've got two people from that team, or you know that the person you've got maybe has a bye next week. Well, you go, you know what, I can move them on this week. Or, you know, like, if you've got a gun, you throw them on the bench and you play someone else. Hopefully you've got the depth there to do that, right?
So what if you've got some dude who's just coming off the back of 140? He's not a gun by any stretch of the imagination. He's just rolling into the bye. And then he's got two hard games.
Well, then, yeah, maybe
are
I do
you
serve
him.
Him?
Yeah,
maybe, possibly. Maybe I'll wait, take that first price rise, and then piss him off before the next one. I don't know. Let's see where we're going throughout the season. I don't know what my strategy is.
That's what
I'm listening to you guys more often than not. So this is why I'm curious as to why you think it's crazy.
That's why you're going so bad.
Yeah, I'm listening to Gregory, and I don't even realise. You can't tell.
Well, during those three buy rounds as well, that's where you were talking about. You have to just start your best 13 now. There's no need to go.
That's an interesting thing.
Diving too hard into.
It's just a team you can field. No reserves.
Depth for squad. So.
Well, actually, yeah.
No, so, well, there is reserve. You do name reserves, but they don't get scored.
Is that the case?
Your name still have your selected 17.
Yeah.
But only 13 players.
So
the
if I got,
best 13 players get scored.
So if I've got two halves away at Origin, for
so
example.
So even if three of your reserves outscore three of your starting players, they get the score.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Just your best scoring 13 players get scored. Don't matter, reserves,
so position, having a bit of depth is going to help you if you go the right way.
Yeah.
In your bench, like some people are counting on their 20s and 30s while you got a 50 and 60 coming through there. That's a leg up, bro. Like, there's some crucial planning there.
But by that time, you should probably have 19 or so quality players.
You know what it gets like sometimes.
But
I mean,
Origin,
we're used to tearing
Origin
apart our team around.
Get taken away, so.
That's it. And then you start building for the next phase of the game in, you know, those six rounds and then the run home after that. Building for head-to-head finals or whatever your plan or your strategy is. So. No, you can leave that there, Con. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's going to change things drastically.
Well, yeah, I mean, the buy rounds are very interesting. You've got three trades available, four if you've still got a boost up your sleeve, but you're automatically allowed to make three trades. You've got your best 13 scoring. There's only five games playing, so there are some mass buys, but there's actually more games, so therefore more possible players to pick from. So that's what I mean. Like, if you really do play your cards right with the buy planning, you can be making extra points every single week. Because if you're only fielding a 16 each week due to buys, especially early in the game, well, not early in the game, as you start building and you get into those tight situations, yeah, sometimes you miss a trade.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you bring in the wrong person or you're too late getting rid of someone and then you get stuck behind the eight ball for 3-4 weeks until something else does go your way.
Yeah.
So my concern is what's going to happen when we get into those sort of situations. May, June, July, once footy season really starts getting in the thick of it.
Well, that's where if you've done it right early, you get to save your boost. You know, like...
Hey, Burks.
What?
How many boosts did you finish the year with?
One.
Good on you, bud.
Which was shit because... I'm glad he's not here, actually, because Con tried to fucking tell me to use my boost. I would have boosted Nico in round two before the money changed, and I didn't want to use my boost. I wanted to hold on. And then I finished the year with a boost and 20,000. Like, it just, everything went to shit from there because I was chasing my own tail. This year I have got it in my head that I will boost early. I'll quite possibly boost round two and three.
What have you got to do to start really getting in those?
Just,
you need those points, man. You got to start banking those points so early.
Well, just, yeah, like last year I was just, you know what, the boost was a change. Like, we see how people have gone a bit nuts with the change now. As super coaches, we've been playing the game for a long time. Not much has changed like that, and it was a massive change to the game.
Old Teddy Woods boosted a bit too early and ended up just, you know, falling a bit short of the pinnacle.
He hung in there for a long time. It was the fact that he just kept trading. You know what, he boosted well. That he kept trading after he'd done all his boosts, chasing some points here and there, and he should have just hung on to a couple of them players and rode it out, you know what I mean? And he would have finished the year with some trades and probably in a better spot. But Teddy, trust me, he's learnt. We talk a lot to Teddy, don't we, Con? And he's learnt a lot from last year. And we do talk a bit about the boost because, yeah, like I said, the boost sort of threw me off last year. Didn't know what to do with it. And this year I've planned for the boost. If I'm doing well them first two rounds, fucking great, won't boost. You know what I mean? If I'm not doing so great, then them boosts are gone. Save two, maybe three if I'm lucky for Origin, and that's the end of it. You know, so I can boost the people in and out of these major buy rounds, and that's the plan from now. But we all know
plans
change hard. Now that Con's back, I just want to have a quick chat about the gold users. Now, gold users, as we know from BBL, thanks to the Sarge, Bilko, he showed us a lot of ownership data and stuff. If you're a gold user, or what is it called, plus user, you get ownership data. So you get to look at what the top 1%, the top 5%, the top 10% are doing. So that you can know who they've VC'd and who they've captained. I think you can check who they've brought in. I'm not 100%
on
that.
Yeah, I believe you can filter the trade section via that now as well.
But so it's just, you know what, we used it. I didn't actually start getting into these last probably three or four rounds because I didn't know I had the feature, but Bilko was putting them in every week for us in the Bold Gary conversation. And just to be able to look at what the top 1, 5 and 10% are doing, A, it's beneficial to you, and B, you know where you're going to have to sort of look for a pod because they're all doing that. If you think somewhere over here is going to be better, well, that's where I'm going to have to go away from the grain, you know. If they're all doing that over here and I'm so far behind, you need the Hail Mary over there. So being able to look at that is another beneficial thing they've brought in. You a fan of that?
If your side is just a bunch of Hail Marys, though, it's time to reassess your life choices.
Oh, yeah, like, it's not the same as cricket old footy, because you can, with cricket, you can trade them in and out so quick. The games are like nothing. But footy, you got to sort of pick and stick and stay for a bit, bar injury. So I like to know what they're doing up there.
Yeah. I agree.
Especially if you're not the greatest and you're getting yourself a little bit of a window, then that's helping.
Yeah,
a lot.
Sure.
Also, what they did brought back from last year, which I did notice, I don't know if yous have noticed, bugger all jewels, lads. Not many at all. A lot of people lost their jewel.
I don't know how Cheese lost his jewel.
Well, we all know from past years when Latrell Mitchell lost his jewel. It's because South said that he's only playing fullback.
Yeah.
It's where his clubs, he's got no other written down in his paper that he's playing somewhere else, or no chance of him.
So Cheese plays 30 seconds at lock, we can see?
No, but what happens if Cheese does play a couple of games? If Cheese does start a couple of games at lock, and it's probably three or four, I think but I'm just saying hypothetically, if he starts at lock for three or four games, I'm not sure on the number, we'll go four. Four games there. He gets the dual status in either round 6, 12, or 18.
So can we buy KP at 5'8"?
In six rounds, you should be able to.
Newcastle have said he's playing 5'8 this year. Why is he not only available in the 5'8 position? Why is he only available at fullback?
Use your words.
Fullback.
I mean, that's a good question, Con. Hopefully they do reassess it before kickoff, but I mean, I suppose
Cheese loses his jewel, where he did play actually both last year, and they said he's only playing hooker, and now KP's only named a fullback because he only played fullback last year, but Newcastle said he's playing 5-8.
Look, it's not going to happen till round six.
But why?
Because it hasn't already happened, so it's not going to happen, I don't think. For me, it might happen, but for me, it's not going to happen. It would have happened last night when the game came out or whenever it came out the other day.
It just doesn't make sense why one loses one doesn't.
Now, just quickly, while we're just shooting the breeze, you saying anything? Just shooting the breeze. The Podmasters Cup, it's still out there. We had a mad event. Was it last Saturday?
Yeah.
Last Saturday, we all went to the cricket with all the other podcasters. We missed the hangout at the pub, standard ass. But we got to meet all the boys and some great dudes out there. And
shout out to Lisa, Kando.
Sorry, you're not just a dude.
Shout out to Kando for organising it all. You're a legend. And for running the Podmasters Cup. Does a fantastic job every year.
Yeah, also heavily involved the SC Hub on the Discord. I suggest the Discord is a good place. Con, you are now in and amongst the Discord. Poking,
plenty of good info out there.
Poking around in there. So, yeah, I did tell you a couple of years ago about the Discord.
Yeah.
And the Discord is getting bigger and better every year, so...
Steer clear of Dr. Kando. He's always up for a prostate examination.
Two fingers, yes. What's that, sorry?
Move on.
Okay. All right. Who are the must-haves? Do you have any must-haves that you can't not start the season with this year? Like, is there someone that you just cannot start the season with this year without, I mean?
Fully fit turbo.
A fully fit turbo. You think that's the way to go?
Under 600k, absolutely.
Yeah.
Clez, you start with Cleary.
See, I think that's the thing you can get. There's now options there. Last year, nah, couldn't have gone any other way to start the year.
Okay,
you know
let me
what
rephrase
I mean?
It. You start with either Hines or Clez.
Yeah, I think Cleary's got the better draw, but has a bye round three.
Round six, I think. Maybe it is round three. I'm not sure.
I think they have earlier bye than the Sharks, and the Sharks have a bye a bit later. But like Perso showed in his stats, Nico does average very well against these teams that he's starting the year against. So he could be a look-in. For me, I'm just going to stick with the reliability of Nafe. He's tried, tested and true now for a few years running. He does his own stuff, scores tries. I know he's not getting the service he was getting out of dummy half, but I think Penrith as a whole work on that. They've got pretty good unit around him. But, yeah, I just see Nafe doing the same, if not better, than last year. So, for me, I'm just going to sit there with the safety of Nafe, whereas you're tipping the Sharks to go a little bit backwards this year, regress as a team.
I am. But
so that, for me, could affect the points of Nico.
I still have Nico not in my team at the moment, but he's...
in the mix. We can't not be in the mix.
A good chance of...
You've seen him last year. He's a gun. Like, he really is just hands on ball.
Kind of a politician, though. Didn't answer the question. Do you see the Sharks regressing and why?
Yeah, I definitely see. I think the Sharks will overachieve this year. I think their spine, their forward pack, definitely isn't top four material against Penrith, Storm, Roosters, South. Parramatta.
You don't think Windows closed?
I think injuries helped Sharks and probably the Cowboys big time last year to Storm, Roosters mainly.
Yeah. All right, very cool. What else you got there, Berks?
I got a couple of questions. Not many, but got a couple. Bowsy just says, welcome back, champions.
Bowsy,
love your work, you, son. Dan Morgan, can't wait, lads. The BBL crew did a great job, but nothing compares to footy.
Yeah.
And he is correct. And then he says, actually, just touching on the BBL crew, the boys are doing their own thing on a Sunday night, wrapping the round on a Sunday. It's called Off the Bench. They have a page on Facebook. Go check them out. They'll be doing podcasts as well. So check that out.
Get in there, fellas.
And then brother Richo, after all the years I've been telling you how good Joey Manu is, Is it, can Con finally admit it? I was right and stop putting the poor guy down.
Hey, starting with him this year, Richo, is the big question, brother. Are you going to put your money where your mouth is?
Let's hope so.
I think he's done it a few years now.
He's done well, Joey. Like,
yeah, he's a gun. Oh, I'm willing to fucking eat me cake. Like, I was wrong, Richo. I'm sorry. It was probably 3 weeks after I said no, but I was wrong. You got me. No.
I've got the stats on it.
Yeah, no, I was wrong, mate, and I'm sorry, buddy.
Well done.
All right, just want to have a quick shout out to some of the people on Facebook. Sean O'Vara's in there. Nick Heffernan, talking about his BBL Supercoach comp. Won it. Good on you, buddy.
Well done, Nicko.
Hopefully you were listening to the boys over the summer.
He was.
They helped you out. Mark Hindle's in there. Lukey Smith's in there.
Lukey.
Timmy, Ross, g'day, boys. How you doing? Ross Man says, Con, go home. You are drunk.
Just a tad. Just a tad.
Sean O'Vara says, he started thin in the centre wing last year, but ended up being where all the points were. The centre wing ended up being where all the points were again. I think when we were talking about centre wing.
Well, Sean, if I remember correctly, Sean was up there last year. If he wasn't up there, he was definitely in them final cashies. Because I remember talking about Sean O's little run home and the final cashies. So,
well, generally, the most expensive players were where the points were at last year. And the most
expensive
players were in the centre wing this year.
This guy's blind. Matty Drew, Shannon Pikowski, Berg's your animal.
I'll try.
Sean O'Vara, it sounds like he's a dog fan. Definitely going to be top eight. Finally, it's their time, mate. It's their time. So quickly, boys, I want to quickly ask you guys about some value and some value picks, team by team, in the positions. So we were talking about this off air. Broncos, the only value you really see there being changes to the team, obviously, fullback. Reece Walsh guaranteed to play fullback, or did you say someone else is playing fullback?
No, he's guaranteed, I think.
Guaranteed? Beautiful. So you're looking at the fullback at the Broncos, probably going to be Reece Walsh. For the Bulldogs, there's been a few
good value
changes
too, I think. Good team, top eight team, I think, this year, and
seriously,
come
Broncos
from
top
a
eight?
Terrible, horrible Warriors team last year. Sorry.
No,
Reece stays fit, they've got a good forward pack, they've got a good back line. Add Reece Walsh, I think they'll do well.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, see, their outside back stocks are decent too. For the Bulldogs, seems to be a few changes over there. So lock, Josh Jackson departing, obviously, so the lock spot's pretty much up for grabs. Any front runners you guys see there?
Probably Luke Thompson. If not, he goes into the front row for Paul Vaughan, who also left. So
yeah, that's it. You say
he definitely
minutes on there.
I think he'll definitely get some minutes.
TPJ figure.
He's looking imposing. I seen him in the gym the other day. Big unit, but he's got to prove it to me, I think. Like, I've had him in the past. Look, done well for me in the past. But he really dogged it last year by the end. And, yeah, I don't even know if he starts. If the coach is watching what he put out, dished up last year at the end, I don't know if he starts.
Mm.
He probably better coming off the bench. He's like that Ryan Madison. Maybe the start of the game's a bit too mongrelish for him or something. I don't know. And then he's got to come on and do a bit of a different role from the bench. I'm just not sold on what his role is yet. Tyler Mariner could go good.
No, there's Supercoach pedigree there for days with him. Like, he's offload, his tackle busts in, he can score trials. Like, it's just his temperament.
I think he pumped 16 offloads in one game last year.
I don't think it was that high. But
it was pretty close.
Yeah, it was pretty extreme.
It was like, it was double figured.
But that's what I mean. Like, saying he can bust tackles. Like, he can run across and palm off four people in one run.
Yeah. Yeah, his potential's limitless, like, but attitude and work ethic's always a worry. And he seems to get himself into trouble as well.
Hey, take that mirror away for a second.
Yeah, it's like looking in a mirror sometimes, isn't it? Wake up yourself. Jazzy, where are you at, mate?
Dragons. Oh, no, no, no. Bulldogs. Centre wing, fullback. Sounds like there's going to be a fullback spot open at the Bulldogs. Avarillo going to start a fullback again?
Not sure where they're going with it. Reports, you don't know. You don't know. It's funny bugger season, you but Hayes Perham or Hayes Dunster,
whichever
one. I'm
just going
to throw
a stupid out there and say Stone's going to be kicked. And Stephen Crichton's going to be starting number one for the Bulldogs.
Oh, you reckon he's going? He's
leaving. Kicking Stones. He's out. I want to play fullback. Nah, nah. I want my money.
So off he goes. Nah. Hope we don't pay the stupid money.
He's already paid stupid money.
No, I'd like to get him out of this
year's stupid money. You
to
eat.
Get him out of this year's contract.
You're probably getting cheap.
No, I don't know who plays fullback. There's rumour it's the Hayes Perham or Hayes Dunster, whichever one we got. Rumour has it he's the front runner, but Perham,
that's just stupid.
Avarillo did
if
a decent job. Avarillo
is not the front runner. Well then, who's your coach?
All right, for the Dragons.
Ah, Serraldo. Yeah, no, Serraldo's not that silly, surely.
Dragons have the bye first week.
Dragons suck.
I mean, there's that too. Fullback and hooker.
Sorry, Saxy.
Sounds like they're both up for grabs, though.
Well, I'm not sure on the Cody Ramsey thing. Hopefully someone watching might know a bit more. I'm not sure if he medically retired or not. There's something wrong with him. So he's still on the books, but as far as I know, there was something really wrong with him. So
Con's pissing himself. Look. Instead of what's wrong with him, Con? What's so funny? Is it just the fact that he's Cody Ramsey?
No, I don't know.
Just the way he said there's something wrong with
no,
him.
No, I'm not sure.
Con's had him in his team a few times.
No, never.
All right. Well, Dragon's spine players probably are irrelevant. Maybe the whoever gets the starting hooker for
the
Dragons.
Well, over the last probably 2 or 3 years, the only true players proved of relevance is Zach Lomax.
And Benny Hunt.
He kicks goals and he can score some tries. He can set up some tries. So
let's move on to the Eels. They got a few openings. They got the hooker, which is Josh Hodgson. I don't know if you guys have seen the photo floating around social media, but the dude looks like he's built like a tank.
Got some guns on him.
Mate.
He'd struggle to wipe himself.
Yeah, Josh Hodgson. 2 tickets to the gun show, please. Oh, really? That dude's rocking cannons at this point. They're massive.
Oh, you do need peptides when you have to come back from serious injuries like that. I mean, sorry. Yeah, no. Nah.
Allegedly.
Training hard.
Allegedly.
Training the house down.
It's called protein.
Yeah, no, of course.
It's called protein.
I saw some frizzle.
So also the back row with the departure of IPAP leaves a massive hole in Parramatta.
Well, that's his Jermaine Hopgood. That's his Jermaine Hopgood get, isn't it?
Nah.
Yeah,
he's
no, but Matt
the chorus.
Yeah, but
number 13 spot. That 12 spot's open.
Yeah, who's going to get it? That's the real question.
Yeah, you got Maddo coming off the bench for 60.
Maybe Maddo just moves straight into that spot. He plays back row, Sean Lane one side, Maddo the other, Jermaine Hopgood 13.
Gets knocked out a lot when he starts the game, but
who?
Maddo.
Maddo.
How can you get himself knocked out having a shower?
Yeah, and I think he's not going to be there for the start of the year either, Maddo. He didn't pay that fine, $4,000 fine, remember?
I thought he's fucking backflipped on that.
Yeah, but it's too late. It'd already been.
So it should be.
It'd been too.
There should be no taxi backs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'd give you the old.
No way!
I'm pretty sure they give you the old fuck you.
Mate, he decided to dog his team for $4,000.
Pull the microphone back from your fucking mouth when you yell into it.
Sorry. Listen, but
you can yell.
Then,
just pull the microphone back when you do it.
Not only did he decide to doggy fucking new teammate for $4,000, he decided to dog his own teammates to walk out of a contract for more money. Like, come on, man. Well, where do you draw the line? Are you a team player or do you just want to go play fucking tennis and get curious?
I'd rather
like,
play
fucking, you're an individual fuckwit, man. You're a good player. You're a specimen. You're a good supercoach, fuckwit. Fuck, I hate you. Sorry.
Get into it, bro.
Finish with that rant.
It's because he plays for power, isn't he?
But, yes.
All done?
No.
All right. There's also a centre wing spot with the departure of Tom Opacek. So, moving on. Cowboys, no massive changes. Dolphins, obviously, all 17 worth looking at. We're going to get into that in a later episode. The Knights, you got a few changes there. 5'8", we're looking at KP moving into, which leaves a fullback spot open. Lockie Miller apparently is the front runner for that at the moment. But there was a few departures, obviously, from Newcastle. Clemmer to the Tigers. I believe you guys lost Mitch Barnett to the Warriors. Yep. Is there another forward? I mean, have you lost another forward there as well? No? Is that it? Point is, there's definitely some back row and some middle minutes there.
Yeah, not anyone.
You wouldn't be looking at either of the Saifidi brothers?
Brazen.
Has it? That's all right. We're still recording the audio. Facebook's fucking out because the internet's shit.
Daniel Saifidi's popular option out there.
You're not on the microphone, Con.
I know Daniel Saifidi's popular option out there. And the stats do back it up. I think Julian Leggy.
Yeah.
He's big totally fan of him.
Totally addicted to Supercoach on Facebook. Check it out.
Yeah, he's got the numbers to back all that up. And he's his number one prop. And he does enough research for me to say that's good information.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty solid. I've gone and had a look at a few of his write-ups. They're solid.
But I feel Jacob Saifidi also went above and beyond last year as well. Like, Clemmer was on the outer a little bit, you could say. Daniel Saifidi wasn't himself. And I think Jacob was our best actual front row last year.
So, would you look at either, starting with either of them or getting either of them in?
I'd personally lean towards Jakey.
Over Dan?
Yeah, but I'm always wrong.
All right, fair enough. Good on you, Greg. Panthers. Panthers got the back row spot left by Viliami Kikau and the hooker spot left vacant by Api Korosau.
Wing spot.
Major changes. Wing spot?
No, wing spot.
Charlie Staines.
Anyway.
We're talking reserve grade Supercoach.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Jesus, could you imagine?
But anyway, Luke Garner. Surely he's a walk-up star for that kick-out spot, and he's the only one of relevance.
Yeah, you wouldn't go near either of the hookers. Luke Smith was saying the same, and we know he's a Penrith man. He loves jumping on the Panthers.
Yeah. He'll own 13 of them.
Yeah,
except exactly. For the hookers.
Yeah, exactly, with no hooker, apparently. Roosters, hooker, obviously Brandon Smith. I think that one's everyone's aware of for the Raiders. Back row spot, front row spot.
Get on to Harpany.
Yeah, I just expect Harpany to pull up a lot of slack.
Yeah, it's it.
I'm a massive Hudson Young fan.
One of these boys they've been grooming and is going to be stepping up and getting a few more
keep
minutes.
Keep your eye out for Hudson Young.
He did really well.
Pun intended.
Yeah. I got it.
Con.
Took me a second.
Oh, Con. So, I'll take that as a no for the
Steelers. No, I'm a serious fan. I just want to take a stab.
I'm just saying, yeah. Oh, fuck, he had to get a second one in. We opened the door, Bert. What did we do? Oh, I'm sorry, everyone. He's brought us down to his level. He just offered Bergs a drink. Bergs hasn't had a drink in, what, a decade? More?
Bit over, yeah.
There you go.
Shouldn't have gouged that out a bit more like that.
Oh, come on. Move on. Let's move on from the Raiders to the Sea Eagles. Front row forward, and well, not the lock spot, but a middle forward spot now opened up with the departure of Marty Tapau, and they lost another key forward, and a big bloke in the middle, didn't they?
Well, not just they lost Dylan Walker, who was doing a good job for them.
Playing big minutes.
Yeah, and just doing a job for him in the middle, so that's...
There you go, Warriors.
Yeah, he did.
If he gets that starting 13 spot...
I don't know if he gets that...
That's a smoky man.
Dylan Walker.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he could be.
If he plays 60-odd minutes.
I think he had an impact off the bench, though. I think he's another one of them guys that has an impact off the bench.
He found that role.
Yeah, it was just... That was perfectly suited for him. Like,
I know he won a comp at centre.
Oh, he's a kid. Rah, rah. He was a kid, though, doing Steel Knox and Red Bull. I could have won a comp on that shit.
Played Origin, but, yeah, I think he found his role as that.
Yeah.
So, getting back to Manly, we've got...
Carl Orton.
Yeah, that's who you're looking at. Fingers back crossed. Row.
And Paseka.
Schuster.
Paseka, yeah. Schuster obviously moving into the 5-8 spot. Terps. Pretty much guaranteed unless he fucks it up really severely and then they'll be able to get rid of him.
See, with Marty gone, does Jakey become Supercoach relevant again? Does he maybe chip into some of Marty's minutes?
I don't think it's so. About the minutes. I think Jakey to stop tucking, running and offloading would just become the ball man in the middle.
All right, if you were Manly, would you get the fuck out of that double Turbo contract?
Nah, because when Turbo's there, he worked well with Turbo.
Right? When?
Turbo wasn't there last season.
Well, they got a third Turbo coming, so they're putting their eggs.
He's not included in the contract, but
all their eggs in the Turbo basket.
No, Has he done anything to excite you?
No.
Anyway, okay.
You know, I'm backing out. I'm abort.
Well, there's lots of things Manly would like to abort.
KP.
The Storm. Two back row positions opened up. I believe we've talked about them with Eliasi Katoa and possibly Tariq Sims.
Yeah.
Trent Lowiro.
Now, you want Trent Lowiro. That's who you like down at the Storm.
I'm backing him.
Starting back row?
Yep. He's impressed me over the last 2 years. I think he's only probably played
15 minutes.
No, maybe 12 or 15 games. Maybe 20. But he's lanky. He's tall. He's... reminds me of that Sean Lane kind of build. And I think good pre-season. I think it's his third, maybe fourth year at the club. Trent Lowiro, get on board.
Time to do some big things.
Heard it here first. He's a big boy. He can do some big things.
And obviously with the departure of Brandon Smith as well.
That doesn't affect him.
No, it doesn't, but it leaves a massive hole in Melbourne's forward pack. That and departure of... Jesse Bromwich,
Kenny Bromwich,
Felice Kapusi.
Yeah.
And Brandon.
That's what takes Tariq Sims.
We've already talked back rowers. We're talking front rowers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what brings Tariq Sims into the middle for me. Just that experience off the bench as a middle forward.
So you don't think he gets the other edge spot? You think Lewero gets the edge spot and he comes in the middle? Yeah, I don't see that as being crazy. At all. I think he's a massive unit and he's got the attitude they need for the middle.
But just for that experience, like, their forward pack's not experienced at the moment. So if they're going to start with Big Nelson, Welch. They're going to need someone off the bench to bring some experience to keep that.
Sometimes that mongrel will they need to really get into a game.
I think he played. Didn't he play front row for the Blues?
He played middle.
Yeah.
He's just such a unit, and because he's an older bloke, he's built now. He's thick, you know.
He went through the peptide too.
All right, fair enough.
Riptide. Ben Shuey, sorry.
Tigers. Lock spot opened up with the departure of Jackson Hastings. Would you get on anyone at the Tigers?
Joe O was doing a job for him start of last year. What?
You know I'm Tiger loaded.
Yeah, he's got a whole right side.
Coming off the wooden spoon. Why not? Right on board.
Speaking of, they've got an edge spot with the departure of Leilua and Tulangi and a front row forward spot with the departure of Tamo. So Tigers are doing some massive changes and they're going to be getting good service. Those forwards are going to be expected to do a lot of work for Appy to be able to do his thing.
See, I got on Udo last year. Udo Okamanu.
Yeah.
Stefano. Cheap. Thinking, yeah, great. He had a few good games. And then he just went. But now, with Appy as the hooker, I'm starting to think maybe I should get on just because, you know, Appy's going to create space and opportunity for him.
He's a unit
one
of a
time
human.
Or another. And he's cheap. Oh, I'm buying in, I think.
Yeah.
Fuck, I just brought my forced tiger.
Alrighty. Anyone else there you're looking at? Waiting to just see who gets named on the edges, I suppose.
I'm on Dewey, Bateman, and Novo, Ed now Stefano.
Yeah.
So give me Joe O too. Fuck, why not?
Joe O wasn't terrible.
I'm just going Tigers.
For the Titans, a wing and a front row forward spot have opened up. Departure of Greg Marju. Kevin Proctor. I mean, I know it's not a massive front row forward spot, but there'll be a few minutes on offer there at least. Or some young bloke going to go through.
Corey Thompson's also departed. I think he might have also played last year.
He retired.
So,
isn't JoJo Fifita getting a run there?
You'd think so. I don't know what he's priced at after his few games last year.
Yeah. JoJo
would be basement.
JoJo would be one, and you'd have to think Sammy would be the other one. Philip Sammy would be the other one, and I still have Herbert and Kelly in the centres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Sammy's shown that before. All right, almost through. Rabbitohs, really not much.
But Wind Dave Fifita. Get on, yeah. Dave Fifita. I like Tanner Boyd. Right, we've been through that.
Wing spot over at the Rabbitohs. Keep an eye on that. Nothing really at the Sharks. And for the Warriors, fullback, which Chance Nickel-Klokstad should slot straight into. He's available in the centres. And then back row spot.
Yeah, well, they've gone and got Barnett. They've gone and got Dylan Walker. They've bought pretty heavy.
So just keep an eye on who gets that starting spot, really, and then make your decisions. Warriors' edges tend to score some points, as much as the Warriors don't seem to.
Yeah.
No, Tahu and Curran score points.
Alrighty.
Group code.
Group code, yes, we do have a group. If you're still listening, thank you. Join our Facebook, not our Facebook group. Well, join the Facebook group as well. You'll find it through the page. But join our Supercoach 2023 overall group, 709-236. Not a cashy, just for shits and gigs, overall glory, bragging rights, all of the above. So jump in there, 709-236. We'll look forward to Supercoaching with you all through 2023. Oh, Con's got a lead code for you too. 759-236. First in, best dress. All three of us are in that league. It's going to be one of the few you'll find all three of us in all year. So make sure you jump in that. First in, best dress. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Peace, guys. Have a good night. Enjoy your Shrey Day. Happy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.